Plus, there were rumors of a strait, a thin body of water the Spanish called El Paso. Word had it that El Paso ran through the bottom of South America, connecting the Atlantic to this South Sea. Based on maps and charts he'd seen, plus stories he'd been told, Ferdinand believed the Moluccas lay near the spot where El Paso poured out into the sea. No explorer had found the strait yet. Whoever did would claim the Moluccas for Spain, along with a trade route that other Spanish ships could follow. This man would get rich beyond his dreams, and he would make a fool of the Portuguese king. Ferdinand got in touch with Diego Barbosa, a rich merchant who had also fled from Portugal for Spain. With his help, Ferdinand got a bishop, a banker, and another merchant, all Spanish, to invest in his expedition. It was a start. But more money was needed. The only man rich enough to provide it was the Spanish king. Would he do it? No one knew. Charles I had just come to the throne. Only 17, he was still a boy, with no experience of power, and he was suspicious of anyone Portuguese. But Ferdinand felt King Charles couldn't treat him any worse than King Manuel had. So in October 1517, Ferdinand left Portugal forever and moved to Spain. There, he married Diego Barbosa's daughter, Beatrice. He was much older than she was, and she was much richer than he was. Soon, Ferdinand found himself in the Spanish court. There, it didn't matter that he lacked charm. The king was looking for a daring captain with experience. No one was better qualified than Ferdinand. He impressed King Charles by showing him a special hand-painted leather globe and patiently tracing his route on it. Portugal, he insisted, wouldn't be able to interfere since Ferdinand wouldn't be sailing through its waters. The Moluccas, he told the king, lay in Spanish territory. The boy king liked the dark, intense man from Portugal who spoke so passionately about his dream. In 1518, he agreed to make Ferdinand the captain general of a voyage to the Moluccas. He'd pay for 5 ships to travel west with enough supplies for a 2-year trip. To make their deal official, he and Ferdinand signed a contract. It stated that Ferdinand would be governor of any island he discovered. He would be given 2 islands if he found more than 6. He would also get part of the profits from the voyage. If the expedition was a success, Ferdinand would become one of the richest, most powerful men in Europe. Ferdinand had waited his whole life for this chance. Chapter 4. Getting Ready. Now came the hardest time. Ferdinand couldn't set sail right away, as much as he wanted to. 5 ships needed to be found, repaired, and then equipped with supplies. The crew had to be hired, along with the 4 captains who would sail under Ferdinand's command. He knew he must be patient and prepare for anything. After all, there were no phones or radios, no rescue squads back then. In an emergency, he and his men would be on their own. So he drew up a plan. First, he got the ships. The one called the Trinidad would be his. The other 4, the San Antonio, the Concepcion, the Victoria, and the Santiago, would be commanded by his captains. All the ships were small. The largest was less than 80 feet, not even the distance from home plate to first base. But the biggest problem was their condition. They were second-hand and old. Their masts were shaky, their sails crumbling and torn. Plus, they were made of wood that had become so rotten, it seemed as if one big wave could sink all 5 ships. Ferdinand had the ships repaired. Then he tried to find maps and charts to plan his exact route. But there were hardly any. He and his men would be the first Europeans heading to many of the places. Most of the time, the ships would be sailing blind. As for tools to navigate, a compass would help Ferdinand determine direction. An hourglass would aid in telling time. Instruments called an astrolabe and a crossstaff could measure latitude, how far north or south from the equator the ship was. But there was no way to tell east from west. Longitude, which we use now, hadn't yet been discovered. Oftentimes, Ferdinand would just have to guess which way to go. Then there was the food and drink needed for a long voyage. With no way to keep anything cold, Ferdinand could take only food that took a long time to spoil. He bought cheese. 21,120 pounds of it. And he got 570 pounds of pickled meat, 1,700 pounds of dried fish, 6,060 pounds of salt pork, 72,000 pounds of salt beef, and 200 barrels of sardines. There was more. 1,512 pounds of honey, 3,200 pounds of raisins, 21,383 pounds of biscuits, 4,700 pounds of olive oil, 10,080 pounds of chickpeas, and 5,600 pounds of beans. He also got rice, lentils, onions, garlic, sugar, salt, flour, olives, figs, nuts, and wine. Everything was stored in barrels or baskets. He also stocked up on tools in case the ships needed to be fixed at sea. In addition, he bought extra wood and rigging, canvas for new sails, barrels of tar, pieces of metal,